Hello, friends. Pastor Chris with you again for the final chapter in Ecclesiastes. Hope you've enjoyed this book as much as I have. Alas, all things must have their end. But have you ever gotten to the end of something and just felt like something was missing? And without that one thing, everything else was incomplete, empty, almost meaningless. Well, as we approach the end of Ecclesiastes, Solomon reminds us that life, too, must end. Like the motto of Proof Rock Academy in A Series of Unfortunate Events, memento mori, remember you will die. It's rather a morbid reminder, but unlike Lemony Snicket, Solomon offers another reminder, and this one changes everything. This one is that one thing that gives everything else meaning, even death. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. The word remember is crucial here, and it means more than simply thinking of or not forgetting. Remember as in do something about. Remember your Creator. The Hebrew word means act decisively, and Solomon says, do it while you're young. As Solomon stands in the looming shadow of death's certainty, he calls out to the young, to those furthest from life's end. He began back in chapter 11 by telling the young to be happy, banish anxiety, follow your heart, but remember that dark days will come, and know that for all these things, God will bring judgment. And now the great reminder, the one that changes all the days of your life, whether good or bad, light or dark, the one that calls for decisive action. Remember your Creator. Remember the one who made you, the only one whose works are glory, who gives meaning to this meaningless life. And Solomon speaks as one with the hardened wisdom of a man who failed to live his own advice, who knew God and forgot. He failed to act decisively. He knew of God without actually knowing God, acknowledged his sovereignty without submitting to it. So Solomon exhorts us to remember God before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. And here Solomon waxes poetic and paints a dreary picture of old age. And I believe Solomon's description here is particularly fitting for a life that failed to remember God. Pleasure is gone, light's dim, and where the rain once gave way to rainbows, now the dark clouds come right back. Solomon spent his life searching for something, to find what was worthwhile. He tried study, but knowledge brought sorrow. He tried pleasure, but pleasure proved empty. He tried success, but it was all chasing the wind, and through it all, he forgot that one thing. Now he's old. As Betty Davis quipped, old age ain't no place for sissies. Solomon describes an aging body in symbolic language. In verse 3, when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed, and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire no longer is stirred. Then people go to their eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. The picture is hands trembling, shoulders slump, legs weak, teeth gone, and eyes dim, and passion fades. The fire inside flickers out, and in verse 6, remember him before the silver cord is severed, and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Solomon hearkens back to the curse, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Yet he adds to that picture, the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Death will come, and looking back on life, all is fleeting, like a breath, vanity, meaningless, hevel. And so Solomon ends exactly where he began. But don't miss the key words of this chapter. Remember before, Four times, Solomon emphasizes the word before. You still have time. Don't wait for a last-second prayer. What are you waiting for? You who put off God, spiritual procrastinators, waiting to the last moment. For what? A deathbed Hail Mary, so that you can arrive at judgment forgiven, with nothing to offer God but a wasted and selfish life? And for what benefit? The worthless vanities of pleasure and power? There is a better option if we remember before. Remember your Creator now. Consider the life of Paul. When his life was spent, he could look back and say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. Now, does a life for God mean escape from the ravages of old age? Of course not. But consider 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Did you catch that? Eternal glory. Where Solomon searched this life for all it had and found temporary vanity, Paul lived this life for the next one. He did remember God and found eternal glory, substance that lasts. So Paul says, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Back in Ecclesiastes, a second voice closes the book with a short epilogue and conclusion. He refers to Solomon as the teacher. Verse 9, not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads, their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails. A goad is a prod that guides an animal. It moves you to take action. Wise words are intended to move you, and firmly embedded nails are designed to hold things in place, like an anchor. They provide a fixed reference point. And it says, these words of wisdom are given by one shepherd. In other words, wisdom may come through many sources, but the ultimate source of truth is God, our one good shepherd. And in verse 12, be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. That verse reverberates through my mind every time I walk in a bookstore. Every time I get lost in research or overwhelmed by endless opinions and philosophies. Verse 13. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. That's it. You can spend endless hours studying philosophy or theology, but the basic truths are simple. Fear God. Respect your Creator. Remember your Creator. And do something about it. Keep his commandments. If God is God and God is good, then obey. Verse 14. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. Ecclesiastes' final words and its one peek into the afterlife bring us to God's judgment. So what will that be like for you? Every deed judged, every hidden thing revealed. Some say that all roads lead to God. Maybe so, but the reception you find there depends entirely on which road you take to get there. Follow your heart, seize the day to squeeze every drop out of life under the sun, and God will bring every deed into judgment, whether good or evil. But follow Jesus, fix your eyes on things unseen this side of heaven, and you will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. As for me, there's still fire in me yet." Hey guys, for more insight and some of my own stories from chapter 12, check out the B-side after you read. I'll see you there.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.